Welcome, and thank you for listening to Grace Heritage Church Audio, Building a Household of Faith on a Foundation of Grace. Visit us online at graceheritage.org. Please stay tuned after the message for more information.
As Paul said, anytime while I'm speaking, if you have a question or something's not clear, or just feel free to speak up. I don't want to do all the talking. I've talked enough already this morning, and so I want to give you an opportunity to speak. Adopt a Pastor. That's the name of the ministry that we're involved in. It was called the Adopt a Pastor Project for the last probably 15 to 20 years since it was started. And this year we decided we've been a project long enough, something under construction, something being built, and we're in the process of kind of changing our name to the Adopt a Pastor Ministry. Because Adopt a Pastor is actually a ministry under the umbrella of Fiel Publications. Fiel is the Portuguese word which means faithful. Faithful Publications. And Faithful Publications began probably almost 60 years ago by a missionary. And you can't see the picture here, but later we have some of these brochures. You want to grab one that are Adopt the Pastor. Missionary Richard Denham and his wife Pearl. They started out in Brazil as missionaries in the Amazon region on a boat, and they went to different places sharing the gospel, seeking to help plant churches. And while Pastor Richard Denham was there, he noticed just the great need for good literature in Portuguese, in the Portuguese language, especially literature that reflects the doctrines of grace or Reformed theology. And so he began to translate different little booklets into Portuguese. He opened a bookstore. I think it was near, well, it wasn't in Manaus. It was another city down from Manaus. Forget. Do you remember the name of the city where he was at? I don't think it's written on here. But he opened a bookstore there and planted a church. And then in order to really have a greater opportunity to disperse this literature throughout Brazil, he and his wife decided it was better to move to a larger area, a larger city. And so they moved a couple of thousand miles to the south, southeast of Brazil, to São Paulo. And from São Paulo, in São Paulo, they began to continue on with the publishing ministry. And I guess that's when the time he named the publisher of Fiel Publications. Something he says here about the need for good literature in Brazil. He says, while numerically the church has grown during this half century, much of it is due to the application of church growth methods, which have not produced a regenerate membership. The opportunity is before us to provide spiritual training for these soldiers who are mostly without guidance and sound teaching. Through providing theological books and hosting conferences, we can show our loving concern for these, our brothers, who are in need of spiritual help. So that's how eventually, after beginning the publishing ministry and translating several books into Portuguese, the Lord put it on his heart to start a conference ministry. And so 28 years ago, Fiel held its first conference for pastors and leaders. And attendance in the first conference was around 75 or 80 people. And this last year, in our 28th conference, over 2,500 pastors and leaders, church members from all over Brazil, including a few pastors from Africa who were there or studying in Brazil at seminaries, participated in the conference. And generally, the Fiel invites a couple of speakers, main speakers from the United States, including he's had John MacArthur was at one of our early conferences. John Piper's been there a couple of times. D.A. Carson, Stuart Elliott from England, maybe you've heard of him. Ted Tripp has been there two or three times. And these kind of men are invited to come, and then now God has raised up a Brazilian leadership, pastors and seminary teachers amongst the Brazilian leadership, who are now being sought out as speakers throughout Brazil. And usually we have two or three of them who come. Thank you. Another reason why I married her. She's very thoughtful. But these conferences have really been a great blessing throughout Brazil. And many have been impacted. Many churches have been transformed. And so after the conference ministry began, Pastor Rich, as they call him, or Pastor Ricardo, as he's known in Brazil, he said, well, what can we do for these pastors? We've provided this material in their language. We have started a conference now, invited them to come. And how can we help these pastors? Because many of them don't have the resources to buy these books. Many of them don't have access to these books. And many of them don't have the means to come to our conferences because they live far away. So what can we do to help these young pastors, or even older pastors, to be ministered to through our ministry? And that's when he came up with the idea of Adopt a Pastor. And so through the Adopt a Pastor ministry, or project as it was known, for at that time it was when we became the coordinators for the ministry, it was $25 a month. A pastor, these pastors who were invited or accepted to be a part of the ministry, the project, they would receive a book a month over the period of normally 3 years. And then they also receive financial help to come and participate in the Fiel conference in Brazil. Not a great price for such a great investment. I don't know exactly what is the number today of how many have gone through the project. It's been going on for, like I say, more than 15 years. And literally churches have been transformed. Many of the pastors and speakers that come now to speak at the Fiel conferences, they went through the Adopt-A-Pastor ministry, and they were impacted in their lives and their churches, and they now are proclaiming these same doctrines, and they're being sought out through Brazil to preach and teach God's Word. And so my wife and I have, for the last 5 years, have been the coordinators of this ministry. It is now $35 a month to adopt a pastor, and me and my wife have been basically, we oversee and kind of run this ministry. She does more of the administrative part, the finances, for those who send in their offerings monthly. She does also a lot of the work with the translation of letters. We ask the pastors to write letters every 2 months to their sponsors so the sponsors can see what's going on in their lives and in their churches. And then I do more of the hands-on sending of the books, separating the books. We have a kind of a master list of books that we choose the books from monthly. Many of them are listed here in the brochure if you want to take a look at some of them, those that we send. And so I separate the books. Now, today we have approximately 450 pastors and leaders in 8 countries that are in Adopt-A-Pastor ministry. Most of them are in Brazil. We have probably close to 300 now. Brazilian pastors, seminary students who are participants in this ministry. In Africa and Mozambique is the area that we've really seen God do great work. We've had a conference in that country for more than 10 years, and we have approximately 100 pastors and leaders that are presently in Mozambique that are in the ministry. And when we came to Fiel, there was only work in 2 or 3 countries outside of Brazil, and now, like I said, there's 8 countries, including Angola, Guinea-Bissau, Cape Verde, or Green Cape, St. Thomas and Principe. What else in Africa did I forget? I think that's all African countries. And then the Lord opened up recently, within the last year and a half, East Timor. You want to know where East Timor is? I've seen that on a map somewhere. I've heard it in the news. East Timor is on the other side of the world, near Indonesia. If you go to Australia, go north, eventually you'll run right into East Timor. It's a Portuguese-speaking country. It was under the Portuguese rule for many, many years. Now they're independent. And their official language of the country is Portuguese. And so we found a Brazilian missionary, or a Brazilian missionary found us, who's serving in East Timor. And he says, how can I help you guys? And he's ministering to pastors and leaders there. And I said, well, let us send you some books. And he gave us the names of several men, and we have about five pastors and leaders in East Timor that are being trained using our books, that are studying and preparing their sermons, teaching classes using these solid theological books that we have been able to place in their hands. And it's been a blessing to participate. And who knows, that God may send some of these leaders eventually to other countries, even Muslim-speaking countries close to them, to be missionaries and to minister the gospel there. So a lot going on. It's a big ministry, a lot of work. We love it, but sometimes it just wears us out. So if you speak a little Portuguese and you want to come down and help us, we accept volunteers. So we just hired a lady recently, a Brazilian lady, who's been filling in and helping Edgenay a lot with the financial part of things. And but it's a great work. Another great part of what's been going on with this ministry is Brazilian sponsors. When we first began this ministry, almost all of the sponsors of the pastors in this ministry were Americans. In the last 2 years, 2.5 years, the Brazilian sponsors have passed up the American sponsors. We are seeing Brazilians catching this vision of, hey, I can do that. I can help. I can invest. My church can sponsor one of these pastors. And we've had some sponsor more than one pastor, 2 or 3, 4 pastors at a time. Churches, Brazilian churches that are now adopting church libraries in Guinea-Bissau. And they're sending books to these church libraries, seminaries in other countries, and they're investing in these lives. So we're seeing it's a great thing that we've been waiting to see as the Brazilian church catching this vision of how they can be involved in impacting the Portuguese-speaking world. And we don't have to translate letters. The pastors write their letters to the sponsors in Portuguese. We just pass them on. We don't have to translate them into English. So that's a lot of work that we don't have to do as well. So it's been a blessing in many ways. So I don't know. Maybe you have a question now. I've said several things and probably missed something.
Two questions. The first is, all the countries you mentioned earlier, I assume these are sort of Brazilian enclaves in a lot of those countries, or are most of those countries?
The ones in, well, most of those in Africa that I mentioned were under Portuguese rule from Portugal. And so that's where they got the Portuguese as their official language. Yes and no. We have, a master list of books that we try to send to the pastors, including commentaries. Usually I send 2 books every 2 months. What I usually try to send is a commentary and a pastoral help or family-related book to help them in their, you know, their ministry as a whole. And we choose from this master list, we choose which books basically I'm going to send. But I tell the pastors, I said, if you're going to be teaching on a certain area or a certain subject in your church, you let me know, and I'll get you a book that will help you in this ministry. If you're be teaching through Matthew, I'll send you Charles Ryle's book on meditations in the Gospels of Matthew, and I'll help you, and that will help you in your teaching of in that certain book of the Bible. If you're going to be teaching a conference on the family, let me know. I've got Ted Tripp's, got a couple of his books. I can send you one of them to helping to train children. And so that I make that available. We really try to make it a personal ministry, not where a pastor is a number, but he's a pastor that we can pastor. And so I try to maintain that contact, read their letters, find out what's going on in their church, and then send them books that's going to help them. If they don't send me anything that they're going through, then I have a basic list that I use, and I'll send them the books that we choose that are going to be helpful in their ministry. Good question.
And I'm sorry to hog up all the time here. What are the greatest needs on the translation side? I mean, we sort of take for granted the rich heritage that we have in English. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where are the great needs in the translation?
Well, we do our own translation. We translate the books. We do the book covers. The only thing we do is we send the books out for publishing. And so there is a need there. Sometimes we have those that, for example, say D.A. Carson, he sends us a book, and he says, well, I'll foot the first 5,000 copies. You know, I'll give you money to print those 5,000 copies. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. So sometimes we have to wait on donations to come in. They say, well, I want to sponsor this book, or I want to put money toward copies of this book being printed. And so we count on donations from the outside to help in the cost of printing the books, which is a great cost. And sometimes we have to pay royalties as well on books that we translate from the States. We have to pay a certain amount of royalties. I'm not real big on this area. That's kind of out of my area, but this is basically how it goes on. So we do accept people say, I want to put a certain amount of money toward the printing of a book. Or sometimes we have to do reprints. A book's out of print, and we need money to do the reprint. And that happens all the time. I'm always looking for books to send pastors and find out that, well, it's out of print right now. We're waiting to do the reprint. And so even the book by Pastor Phil Newton recently was out of print on Elders and Congregational Life. And it's a book that's been very helpful to a lot of pastors as well. It was out of print recently, so we're looking to redo that book as well. But that's kind of the way things are. We get money sometimes from those that are giving us permission to print their books, and sometimes we don't. So that's a good question. Pray about, and if God lays on your heart, you want to help.
How much help are you able to get from computer translation?
Well, it's kind of a rough translation. A lot of times, you know, it can help some. But we have professional translators that are really good. And so we do the translation, then we do the editing. We have people that edit the books. So computer translations probably gives you a rough translation. It can help, but...
Does it even help? Because you have to change it so much that it's worth starting.
Yeah, and sometimes a computer translation gives you things that are just kind of, you know, out in space. And we try to really do the translation where it's to the heart of the Brazilians, using expressions that they would use, that they would understand, and a lot of times a computer translation just doesn't get it. So, but anyway, that's a good point.
You said when you commit to a pastor, it's only for 3 years, or does that continue when you switch over to a new pastor?
Yeah, good question. We ask sponsors to commit to 1 year, at least for 1 year. And then if you decide to renew each year up to 3 years, then we allow you to do that. You say, well, after 1 year, well, you know, I just, this is all I can do, and, you know, then that's fine. But normally we try to keep a pastor in the project for 3 years, and that'll give him 36 books and the opportunity to participate in 3 conferences. Some countries, we don't have conferences yet. Some of the African countries, we're working on that. We're looking, as we get more pastors adopted in those countries, that gives us more funds in order to invest in having a conference in that country. Like, say, in Mozambique, we've had conferences for more than 10 years. We have a conference in Portugal that's been going on for about 12 years or so as well, and in Brazil. We've had a conference or two in Angola, but we haven't had the right context to continue on there. But the Lord's raising up some good believers, some good brothers there. We hope to have a conference there very soon. So, did I answer everything? Yeah. Okay.
What's the waiting list like right now for pastors that want to be adopted?
Yeah. Outside of Brazil, we don't have a great waiting list. In fact, in some countries, we have sponsors on a waiting list to sponsor a pastor. And but in Brazil, it's our greatest need. You know, Brazil's a large country. Close to 200 million is the population of Brazil. And we have a waiting list right now of about 1,000, maybe more than 1,000, and it grows every day. And we don't add every pastor that sends, because pastors can get on the waiting list online. You can go online and fill out a form, give us your basic information, who you are, where you're serving in a church, and then you can enter into a waiting list, a sense of waiting to get on the waiting list. And then once a pastor has, we receive a sponsor for that pastor, then we'll go and we'll receive further information, having refill out his forms, tell us about his ministry, tell us how many books he has. We have pastors have been able to buy 50 or more of our Fiel books already. So, and then we have pastors that send us a book list, and they don't have one book. So we try to, if pastors have already been able to get books, then we'll say, you know, God's already blessed you. You've been able to, there's other guys that don't have any books. And so we try to prioritize our list in that way. But in Brazil, we have 1,000 or more, and usually these pastors wait 2 to 3 years before they get in the project. Sometimes if we see a guy who's super prepared, he's a great candidate, somebody we really want to invest in that God's really going to use, sometimes we'll go ahead and put him on into the project, not make him wait. But normally they have to wait a couple years before they can get a sponsor. And that's in Brazil. Like I say, outside of Brazil, we don't have a great waiting list. But there are always, from time to time, we have pastors that are needing to be sponsored there as well.
Is the list of translated books on your website, and how much does it cost roughly to get a book translated and produced?
Usually the $5,000, $6,000 is what I think is the common price, you know, for a book. And of course, it depends on the size of the book as well. How much work goes into getting it prepared? But usually, around $5,000 or $6,000 will pay for the getting the book done, and also the first print, which you know could be a few thousand copies. On the brochure there is a list, a basic list of books that we send to the pastors. I'll read a couple of them for you. The Cross and the Christian Ministry by D.A. Carson. Pilgrim's Progress. The Manual of Theology by John Dagg. The Sovereignty of God, A.W. Pink. Our Sufficiency in Christ by John MacArthur. And we've done several of his books. Preachers and Preaching by Martin Lloyd-Jones. Shepherding a Child's Heart, Ted Tripp. Expository Thoughts in the Gospels, J.C. Ryle. We've done all four of his Gospels. Born Slaves, Martin Luther. The Christian Counselor's Manual by Jay Adams. Pierced by the Word, John Piper. We've done several books, other books by John Piper as well. Studies in the Sermon on the Mount, Martin Lloyd-Jones. A Journey of Grace, Richard Belcher. The Pastoral Epistles by John Calvin. We're doing all of the Calvin commentaries in the New Testament. We've got several of those. We just finished with the book of Hebrews. And I just sent that out right before we came to the States. 9 Marks of a Healthy Church by Mark Dever. We've done some other of Mark Dever's books as well. And one other thing here concerning Mark Dever, and it's here in the brochure, 9 Marks Leadership Course. We have prepared a leadership course done in coordination with 9 Marks. Mark Dever and some of the other leaders from 9 Marks have come to Brazil. We have filmed them giving lectures on theology and other things, and we are making these available to the Brazilian pastors. And each pastor that's in the Adoptive Pastor Ministry will have the option, if they choose, to participate in this leadership course. Let me tell you a little bit what it's about. Each pastor we'll have the opportunity to complete a 9 Marks leadership training course. The course includes 28 hours of teaching by highly qualified pastors and leaders. The modules are taught via DVD or video with study guides and course books. Every participant that completes the course will receive a course diploma, academic credit recognized by many theological institutions. So that's something new thing that we're making available. And I just received an email recently that there is a missionary in Mozambique that wants to make this available for many of the seminaries and Bible schools in Mozambique. So it's a new thing that we're opening up now that's going to be a blessing to hundreds, if not thousands, of pastors and leaders in the Portuguese-speaking world. Okay, it's all right? Anything else? Good to go or good to stop?
No,
you're
good to go.
Okay.
Are your translators theologically trained?
Yes. They're sad. In fact, our main editor, you know, was his spiritual father is Pastor Richard Denham. And he grew up trained under him, taught him English, everything. And then our translators, yes, they are all theologically on the same page, Doctrines of Grace, and our whole staff as well. We have a couple of people, maybe that new ones, who work in different areas, but in the area of theology, anything doing with translation, yes, they're solid believers who are going the same direction. You got a...
I was just wondering, there may be no way to estimate this. I find that myself, I'm overzealous often with the books I acquire. Mm-hmm. Maybe every three that I get, I may read one.
Yeah.
Or so. I didn't know if there was a similar way to say, oh, you know, we have such a passion for you, but we know that there are originally a handful of these. Or
yeah.
They're just acquiring on the shelf.
So how do we know that they're going to read what we send them?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the purposes, and we ask the pastors when they are included in the ministry, the adoptive pastor ministry, to sign and to agree to send two letters or a letter every 2 months to let us know what's going on in their ministry. Give us a brief update on the books that you're reading. How are these being involved in your teaching? So that's one of the requirements that we have for those who enter in the project. So we have a few other guidelines that they have to agree to as well. And not to ask your sponsor for donations, or, you know, my car's broken down, can you send me money to buy a new one? Or we realize that there are some really serious needs. And there have been times when a sponsor has received a prayer request and he's helped out, like maybe with an emergency surgery or some kind of other very serious need. But rarely that happens. And we don't allow the pastors who are adopted to have access to their sponsor, unless the sponsor says, I want personal contact. I want to, you know, email back and forth with my pastor. Okay, that's your call, and if you want to do that, that's up to you. But generally, we don't allow that to happen unless it's agreed upon.
We kind of take for granted the availability of the Bible here, and in Brazil, I think that's probably, it's pretty available as well. But as far as these smaller countries, is the Bible as readily available as it would be in Brazil, or is that something you have to send as well?
It's not available. We've heard stories, especially in Mozambique, of pastors asking for Bibles, and we've sent over some. We even did a collection for Bibles at one of our youth conferences a while back to collect used Bibles that people just had sitting around in Portuguese, and then had them sent over to Brazil, because we've heard stories of pastors saying, you know, in my church, we have our service, and maybe we have 25 or 30 people, and only 3 people have a Bible. The need is great in some of these countries. We don't have any idea of what, you know, how blessed we are. And even those who don't have Bibles, a lot of them don't have the funds to buy one. And because, you know, Bibles can be expensive. And a lot of these pastors, they beg for study Bibles. They say, you know, we need a study Bible. We need some. And we've had people take some of those over, and we collected some and took some of those types over. But yeah, there is a great need for Bibles, and it is difficult to get them over there. It's very expensive, and just getting them into the right hands, you know, sometimes. We sent over 3 boxes of Bibles a while back through the postal service. Today we don't even know where they are. The pastor never arrived, and so we don't know what happened to them. So you run into those kind of problems. Just getting them into the hands of the people, but the need there is great, for sure. Would you like to hear a few testimonies of pastors who have been in the project? Let's do that. Still thumbs up? All right. When he does the thumbs down, we're out. Okay. Testimonies from pastors. Paulo Amaral dos Santos from Brazil, he said, these books have been a great value in my ministry as my resources are limited. Joaquim Fragoso from Brazil, he said, it's unbelievable how each single book has helped me in my personal growth. It's been 27 books that I have now received, and I have to tell you, I have never read this much excellent material in my whole life. Rogério Ramos from Portugal. says, since Fiel began having conferences in Portugal, my colleagues and I have been stimulated by these precious, by this precious help in our understanding of the sacred scriptures. Jefferson from Brazil says, this ministry has helped a lot of pastors and missionaries. I am thankful to God for being among the brethren that have been greatly impacted by this ministry. Augusto from Angola, we are very happy for all that the Lord has done in our lives. Please know that it is an immense joy for us to be a part of this ministry. And then the pastor that we've really, God's really blessed in using in Guinea-Bissau in Africa, Yabna is his name, Yabna. He wrote, I'm sending this message with a big smile on my face. I just received the books that you sent. I'm grateful for them because they help me so much. I use them a lot in my own devotional life, and they are very helpful for the lectures I give at the seminary. And we also we have a Brazilian church that has adopted his seminary and is sending books over to put some books there for the people to use there in his seminary. All right. There's some other testimonies as well, but you can read them. If you grab one of these brochures, read through it, and you'll get to hear a few other testimonies from guys who have been blessed.
Kevin, how would you describe the general nature of theological training in Brazil and the state of the church overall? Can you speak to that in any kind of...
Well, overall, it's the evangelical community has grown. And as I was telling a brother last night, the evangelical community in Brazil includes a lot of the health and wealth, prosperity gospel groups that have invaded Brazil in a big way. They have, most of them have their own television companies, and they are on almost 24 hours a day broadcasting this type of prosperity gospel. And so it's, the church is weak theologically, and which has been a challenge for us, which is part of why we exist, is to get this material into the hands of pastors and leaders.
And so if we wanted to do, what are the top three things that we could do to help and encourage your work and the work that's going on there?
Well, just pray for us. First of all, you know, just lift us up before the Lord, because you know the enemy is against what we're doing in a big way. And it's a great challenge. So pray for us in our efforts there. If the Lord puts it on your heart, if you want to, as a church or as individuals, you want to pray about adopting a pastor, we can help you with that as well. We have a site online where you can go and read more about the ministry. You can even adopt a pastor online, and we can help you if you want to even choose a pastor. We can send to you names and photos of a pastor that may be available. So if you want to consider that as well, and also sending your pastor back down to Brazil. He's greatly loved there. He's been there, like I say, seven conferences, and they keep asking, when's Brother Paul coming back? So. And they like it because he makes the effort to speak some Portuguese with them. And I know Brother David, who's here, David Wooten, has been down there two or three times and ministered down there as well. And but just, you know, be open to how the Lord might put upon your heart how you might help, even helping with the translation of a book, translation of books.
Do you guys have a list of waiting list of books, too, that are waiting to be translated?
They're in the pipe. I think there's 25 books. The goal is 25 books or booklets a year. And this last year we did 25 or so. And I know it's Rick Denham, who is the son of Richard Denham, the founder of Fiel, is now the president leader of Fiel. And he's a very outgoing kind of guy, to say the least. And he really wants to do as much as we can. And so he's very, has some ambitious goals for the ministry. Yeah, but we have a lot of books in the pipe. Okay.
Thank you for listening. Grace Heritage Church meets in Auburn, Alabama. Services are held at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday morning at 1345 Annaloo Drive,